What's up, guys? This is Zach Logue, left-handed pitcher in the Toronto Blue Jays organization. You're listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the Walk-Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan. Wire.
Buddy, I was in Okotoks last night.
Nice.
For the Sylvan Lake Gulls and Okotoks Dogs baseball game. First time that the stadium has gone full capacity, obviously, with all the restrictions kind of being lifted here in Alberta. And my goodness, dude, a little Western Canadian Baseball League ball. It was so great, buddy. That's awesome. So surreal, man, like to just be at a diamond and have all of these people there and like standing up and singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" in the bottom or the middle of the seventh. It was awesome, man.
Man, that's so much better than my story, because like, for anybody that doesn't know, we're in Alberta. COVID is over here, right? We've won the war on COVID. You know how I celebrated the restrictions being lifted?
Tell me.
For the first time in a year and a half, I went into a Walmart without a mask, and I thought that was cool. But here you are at a ballpark. You outdid me.
You know who was at the ballpark?
Who's that?
Our premier, Jason Kenney. Oh. And they made a big production of it too. They're like, the man who helped get us through this. And like, oh, there was God. A spattering of boos and then more applause than I was expecting. I know darn well had that been Doug Ford in Ontario, they would have booed him unanimously.
Yeah, just drunk baseball fans happy to be out. They would have cheered for
it. It really was, right? Man, like they could have said anything and people were like, woo!
Yeah. Bill Cosby with the opening pitch.
Yeah, well, welcome to the Walk-Off, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and being a part of the community here. Scott Belford with you, joined as always by Adam Mack.
Cheers.
We've got a killer guest for you today. Triple A starting pitcher Zach Logue of the Buffalo Bison and the Toronto Blue Jays organization sits down. And man, he was such a fun kid to chat with.
He's great.
Like, really positive and upbeat. And I mean, he did just get the call up to Triple A, so he's feeling pretty good. And he's also leading the organization in strikeouts. So lots for him to be excited about. He's a guy that, you know what, with some injuries, it is possible that we'd see him put some innings in this year. Yeah. So that's coming up in about 30 to 40 minutes. Of course, as always, our guest is brought to you by YourRate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, sure to help you out, get into that mortgage that you're after or to refinance your current one. You can do so online, get things started paperless and COVID friendly. Of course, COVID is over here in Alberta, so you can just go paperless, yourrate.ca. At Walk-Off Podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, and Adam runs the Instagram. That's the Walk-Off Podcast. All right, so here we are, and I don't know if you knew this or not, Adam, but we are officially at the halfway point.
Nice.
Of the Major League Baseball season. Yeah, the Jays still have two more games to go to officially be at the halfway point of their season. However, if you just look at how many games on each side here, this July 2nd, we're at the halfway point.
The mark.
The Jays are 41-38. They went 8-4 on this 12-game set against kind of the lower teams in the standings that we were talking about. And when we brought this up, both you and I were like, they need to win 9 or 10. Yeah. And they won 8. So they basically did the bare minimum they had to do to still somewhat be in a race. And they are. Mm-hmm. I think they're 5 games out of the wild card spot right now. They definitely have a lot of baseball still to play.
When they hate you, the season they made the Tulowitzki and Price trades, they were at 500 when they made trades. So
yeah, they were 50-51.
Keep that
in
mind.
They brought in David Price. Absolutely. So optics wise of this 12 game set, they looked good. I mean, you're winning 8, losing 4. That's not bad. However, they have done all season long, they lost games that they should have won. And this is an interesting stat that's kind of disheartening a little bit here. So the Blue Jays lost an extra innings in that second game of the Seattle series here 2 days ago.
Right.
And that marked the 22nd time that they lost by two runs or less this year. So of their 38 losses, 22 of them, they were right in this thing. And I think that's an indication of the bullpen struggles that they've had.
Well, that doesn't even tell the whole story, Scott.
It doesn't.
Because that doesn't even include the games where we were within
up
or up going into the seventh, eighth, ninth into inning, the seventh. And then lost by more than two.
And there's 12 of those on the books.
So
think of that. There are 12 games where the Jays were up in the seventh inning and lost.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's start with this. We'll get some of these negatives off, and then we'll flip this around. Everyone's been screaming this for a month, but Tyler Chatwood, enough is enough, man. Like, and I truly defended him even 2 weeks ago, where I was like, yeah, "Don't DFA him." Me like, too. Look at what he did in April. You give him low leverage situations, maybe he can pull it around. But he is not, and he is a guy that was mentioned with the sticky stuff. He's a guy whose spin rate has decreased substantially since the new rules came into place there at the end of June.
Obviously, the control has disappeared as well.
His control has been flat out bad. Like, listen, last night, I know they brought him into a 5-2 game in the ninth. But what I don't understand is this front office is a little weird right now to me with the way that they approach this. Because Joel Piamps has put together one heck of a season for this Blue Jays bullpen. Why he was the one, and Anthony Castro for that matter too, that were sent down was all a matter of asset management, which is really weird to me because they already DFA'd Rourke. So how are you in like a win now, but also an asset management situation? And they sent Piamps down because he has an option. Whereas they would need to put Tyler Chatwood on waivers and let him clear before they could send him down, and someone would obviously grab Chatwood. Someone would just grab him.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why we're at this point of the season halfway. Like, do we need Tyler Chatwood?
Should we start calling him Tanner Chatwood? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm just so frustrated with this yesterday I was watching the game. I'm like, I've seen this episode. Like, Why is he walk? Like, he walked a guy, allowed a hit, walked in a run, right? Allowed a hit. It's just.
Yeah, it's.
And this team is a team that is so offensively potent that when you're only down by three runs, like, man, in that bottom of the ninth, they right away got two runners on, nobody out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that they could have done something if they were down by three instead of five.
Totally.
But five just seems so insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a mind screw, right? Like, you're just like, and the front office is bolstering this pen,
yeah,
right? Patrick Murphy has not performed to the way Blue Jays fans were hoping that he would perform. He's got nasty stuff, but he has given up runs every opportunity that he's been given. Adam Simber was just brought in from the Marlins. That was the big trade a couple days ago, right? With Corey Dickerson. Right. He got his debut yesterday and looked as advertised, man. Yep. Ground ball, quick outs, nasty delivery. Oh, man. I love watching him pitch. Just the arm angle on his lowered slot is just a beautiful thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are going to make some more moves. But in this moment, you know, why are you running out Tyler Chatwood? I don't know, man. And I have even defended Charlie time and time again. But in this particular case, it's like, how many times you need to be proven he's not the option you should go to? I don't know.
Well, you and me were both defending Tanner Chatwood a couple weeks ago. And I think you and I are both kind of over it at this point.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe the team is too. Like, we wanted to believe in him. We wanted, you know, he had a couple bad outings. We were hoping he would figure it out. He's not figuring it out. Like, I think maybe part of their reasoning was, as you mentioned, he was a guy associated, named specifically in regards to sticky substances, when the crackdown was kind of announced that, like, hey, this is going to happen, that's kind of when his struggles began. I feel like the organization kind of just, they thought, let's give him like a runway to figure out how to throw the slippery ball, and then he'll be good. He might not be as good, right? But he will rebound from, but I don't think he's having much luck with those slippery cue balls out there. So
I agree.
I don't know.
And I mean, if you can't hit the zone, you're not a major league pitcher. Like, I don't care how good his stuff is.
Yeah.
All right, let's shift gears here and go a little bit more positive. I do wish to talk Hyun-Jin Ryu. I know there's a lot of concern about him, and I kind of deep dived into what's going on with him over the last month, so we will talk that in a second here. But first, let's talk All-Star Game, because, oh boy!
We're a third of the team.
The old Toronto Blue Jays have three starters in that lineup. Teoscar starting in right field, and then you're going to see Vladdy starting at first. Of course, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. having an incredible season. Every Blue Jays fan is just thrilled with what that man has done in the last 12 months.
Absolutely.
And he won the most votes out of anyone at this All-Star game. He led the vote count, which is very cool. And then Marcus Semien also going to start as the second baseman for this American League team.
Vlad Jr. is the youngest player in MLB history to lead All-Star voting. That's wild.
It's very, very cool. It's very, very cool. I think we're also going to see Bo Bichette get added, is my guess. Mm-hmm. He definitely is worthy. I think we might see a Jordan Romano, possibly.
Okay.
His numbers are good enough to be there. We'll see what happens, too. Major League Baseball also doesn't wish it to be the Toronto Blue Jays at the All-Star game.
As big as that market is.
Yeah, so I think they'll make sure that Mullins is there from Baltimore. They'll make sure that everyone has a representative.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it would be cool to see a guy like Jordan Romano or even Robbie Ray possibly get the call. I did want to bring up Teoscar Hernandez because this is a guy that this is his first All-Star game. This is a guy that took a long road to get here. Now, some of you might remember they wound up getting Teoscar out of Houston back in 2017 for Francisco Liriano. And part of the reason that the Astros included Teoscar as that piece was that they took on the salary of Nori Aoki. And I don't know if everyone remembers. A lot of you might have forgotten. He only played about 2 weeks with the Blue Jays in September, and then they let him go. But they did pay the remainder of the $5 million salary that he had. And that's why they got such an increase in the prospect that they were after. And Teoscar Hernandez, obviously, 2021 All-Star, I think that worked out for him. Yeah. Now, I bring this up because there is a lot of talk about what the Blue Jays are going to do in the bullpen. And they've got some trade targets out there, and there are a couple ways that they can go about it. Now, I know Richard Rodriguez out of the Pirates system, okay? He's with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's their closer, and he's killing it. He's been incredible all year. Now, he has had a few blow-up games recently, and there is some concern that maybe he's a sticky stuff guy as well. However, he is under control until 2024. He has incredible numbers. One of the top closing options out there. So what do the Jays need to do to get him? So they either need to give up some top-end prospects, probably a number something in the top 10 anyways, you know, a CJ Van Eyck, and this is if you're just going to get Richard Rodriguez. Now, I don't think that's the way that this front office is going to go. I think it's much more likely that they try to get Rodriguez by offering to pay a bad contract.
Pick up a bad contract. Gotcha.
Exactly. And of course, the one I'm thinking of with the Pirates is Gregory Polanco. He's owed $11 million this year, which is probably going to be about 5.5 if they were to acquire him right now. Right. And then he's got $4 million worth of buyouts over the next 2 years. Club options. Now, he's a left-handed hitter. You could put him on the bench, play the season out, because really the goal is here is Rodriguez. Right. That's the target. And then it's kind of like a Nori Aoki situation again, right?
Right.
The other option that is a possible that the Jays could try and do this, take on cash and give less prospect capital, is Ian Kennedy out of Texas. Now, the Rangers have no need for a closer of the quality that Kennedy is, who, again, is one of the top in baseball. And Ian Kennedy is a vet. Right, he's 36 years old. He used to start way back in the day. He is developed and is crafty.
Right,
he's a guy that would be really great at the back end of this Blue Jays bullpen. And I think for them to get him, again, high end prospects, or maybe you take on a Jordan Lyles, right, who has been a disappointment in Texas. He's owed $8 million this year, so the Jays would probably need to pay the $4 million. And then I think he has a team option with $1 million buyout next year. So again, if the Jays are prepared to pay, let's say, $5 to $10 million of a bad contract, I think they can get a high-end reliever for basically what they got Adam Simber for.
Right.
Right? A low-end prospect, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lottery ticket, right, instead of giving away a Gabriel Moreno or something crazy like that, which I don't wish to see a top 10 guy go for a reliever.
Of course.
No. I don't care what the reliever is, personally. No. I don't wish to see a top 10 prospect go for that.
I agree.
So those are some interesting options while we're talking trade options. Can we talk Kyle Schwarber for a second here? Because I just wanted to bring him up because he single-handedly has put this Washington Nationals team on his back the last month. They have been hot and find themselves two games back of the New York Mets for the lead in that...
NL East.
Yeah, in the NL East. Which means all of the Max Scherzer talk, all of the maybe we can trade for Kyle Schwarber talk, get real.
Not going to happen.
They're sitting at the same record as we are right now, as the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
It would be like the Jays selling at this point. I don't think it's going to happen, especially considering they're so close to the division lead. Like, mm-hmm. The Jays are five games back of a wild card spot.
No, exactly.
The Nationals are a game in hand and two games back of the Mets. I just think that when it comes to trades, the Washington Nationals are now buyers and they are now out of the realm of options for some of these other teams.
No, you're exactly right.
Okay, I want to talk Hyunjin Ryu here.
Okay.
So let's get into this a little bit. I know that there's some major concern about what's going on with Ryu. He has just not been himself the last six starts. These last six starts have been the worst six starts of his Blue Jays career. Now, when Hyunjin Ryu is slumping, he's still a very serviceable number four or five in almost every rotation. You know, like, he's not all of a sudden a minor league pitcher when, let's say, like when Steven Matz was slumping and you're just like, this guy shouldn't even be in the league. What is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
But you watch Hyunjin Ryu and he's still putzing along at a little bit over a four ERA. Yeah, yesterday he struggled and gave up a few more runs. And this is what is going on. So I started deep diving into what his pitch selection has been and what's been going on. At first, I thought it was velo. But you look at his velo. His velo's not that bad, man. I mean, he's a guy who normally tops out around 91, 92. And he's been topping out at 89, 90, 91. Like, he's just slightly below where he was at. He's still throwing his fastball very well and locating it incredibly well, actually. His slider still looks good. But where you start to see a drop-off is his cutter and his changeup are no longer hitting the spots. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the heat chart of his changeup and his cutter in April and most of May, and it's a masterpiece, mm-hmm. right? Like, it is just dotted all the way around that inside corner, just mm-hmm. squeezing out strikes on the corner. You look in June, and they're just like a big heat mark right in the center of the strike zone, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where you live by the sword and you die by the sword. Okay, so when you're a control pitcher, and you don't have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball to rely on, if you're not hitting your spots, I don't care how good you are, you're going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what has happened to Ryu. I think he's going to pull out of it. I think he's fine. I think it's a few little adjustments. He has gone through some stints like this in his career before, and every ball player struggles from time to time. I really don't think that this is a panic type situation. Yeah, it's frustrating to see your ace not perform up to where you're used to seeing him perform. I know there's been talk about the sticky stuff with Ryu and that his struggles kind of timed up with when they started to do that. But if you look at his spin rate, it's the exact same. It's literally the exact same as his career spin rate.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that was a thing he was dealing with. I think he's just cold. Yeah. He's just not hitting his spots.
I think you're right.
Do you worry about it?
Is that a rhetorical question, or are you actually?
No, I'm asking you. Are you a little concerned?
No, I think he'll age gracefully.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm a little concerned, but I think it's fine, personally. I think he's going to be fine. Now, injuries, there are guys coming off the IL. It's been a wild couple months for the injury list in Toronto, but we are starting to see guys that are making some rehab assignments. Both Kirk and Jansen are in AAA currently, rehabbing their injuries, and they should be, both of them should be ready to come back at any time, which is really interesting because Riley Adams is going to be sent down instantly. He has struggled at the plate. He has proven that if they throw him nothing but off-speed pitches, he can't lay off, and he is struggling to catch up, or not catch up with them, to put the barrel on the ball, I should say. So I think he's an obvious choice to go down. I don't think you do anything with Reese McGuire. I think he's at this point proven himself to be the starting catcher until he isn't anymore.
Absolutely.
So then you need to decide who you're going with, Jansen or Kirk. And I personally think that it's going to be Jansen that gets called up. And I think Kirk is going to be in AAA until he either hits his way back onto this team or is traded. I don't know. Yeah. Where do you lean with this catcher situation?
I don't know, man. I was never on the Kirk hype train.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to take some heat from that, but
he's got a nasty bat. He's a hitter.
Yeah. It was a small sample size, too.
Yeah.
He didn't look good this year. I don't know. I've never pictured him.
He's a 21-year-old kid. I'm with you. Let's put him in AAA and make him hit his way onto the team.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're going to do.
What it comes down to.
Yeah. Ryan Barucki is now throwing to live hitters, which is big progress. He's almost ready for a rehab stint. That's going to be a nice relief to get Barucki back in the bullpen. And then Rafael Dolis is actually in AAA currently rehabbing. I know there's a lot of Jays fans who don't particularly wish to see Dolis back in this bullpen, but I think he's going to be shortly. Like it or not, he's going to be back shortly.
So much better than Tanner Chatwood. We have to admit
he really
that,
is.
Right?
Like, it really is the truth, man. Like, say what you will about Dolis, but give me Dolis over Chatwood every single day.
I mean, he's at the top half of our bullpen, right? It's Romano, Simber, Meza, Dolis.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, right?
When he's healthy. So. And Sosedo has looked pretty good.
That's true. He just hasn't gotten enough action for us to really have that conversation.
No, he's definitely the lowest leverage guy in the pen. And I kind of respect the way that they've eased him in to this.
Totally.
They've done a good job of that. I mean, there were times where I'm like, why didn't you just start with Sosedo?
Mm-hmm.
But
I think he'll get more opportunities as long as he doesn't blow up, you know?
Yeah, and he hasn't. It's like when he sat down with us and we were talking about the runs he gave up there. He still induced the ground ball, and I love that that's the way he looked at it, too. He's like, I got
the hit I was looking for.
I got the play I wanted. Yeah. Just unfortunately, it was about a foot away from Bichette, so instead of it being
a double play,
it scored a run. But what do you do?
Exactly. Yeah. No, he's got a great mentality.
Okay. Did you have any other things Blue Jays-wise to touch on here?
I just wanted to mention You mentioned Bo Bichette on that Tyler Cicedo, just missing that ground ball for the double play. But let's talk about him in a positive light. He's approaching a full season, spread over 3 years, but still.
Which is wild that he's almost at a full season of baseball.
So he's played 154 games. His career batting average is .297. So he's hitting almost .300 for his career, you know, over a full season.
Yeah.
Like, just if you think about a guy coming in as a rookie, playing a full season and hitting .300, it's absurd.
Yeah, it is.
Like, especially with this.
Especially with his leg kick and his swing, and he's just.
He swings violent,
you know,
doesn't he?
He swings so hard.
He does get a lot of strikeouts, but it's not actually that much. He's 154 career games, 154 career strikeouts.
Yeah, he's on par with the major league average.
Like, he's below Fernando Tatis. He's below, like, Trevor Story has more strikeouts per game than he does. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that has 31 home runs. Like, if you look at the 162 average, so you take his stats and extrapolate it to a full season, this is 33 home runs and 103 RBIs. Like,
that's pretty impressive.
That's
for a 23-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's. I mean, got to be happy with that. I was just looking at some of the other shortstops here before we started the show, and just for some comparables here. So Trevor Story, who everybody considers to be like one of the best hitting shortstops in the game, his career batting average is .275, and his 162 game average for home runs is 34. So the fact that Bo Bichette is at 33 for a 162 game average and doesn't play in Colorado.
Yeah.
Says
it's incredibly impressive, right? What he's done. He's an offensive monster, man, and I think he's only going to get better.
Of course, we can't talk about shortstops without mentioning Fernando Tatis Jr., who is not even at a season and a half career games yet. .207 he's at, and his 162 game average for home runs is 51.
Wow,
isn't that crazy?
Just insane.
So
what a beast.
With a .300 career batting average. So
what a beast, man. And this is why I think Bichette is going to wind up getting the call to the All-Star game, is that you just look at the numbers and how do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's another young, exciting face of baseball that I think MLB would like to see there. So I think it's just going to happen.
Yeah. The only thing with Bo is, I mean, he's won 10 game slump away from Blue Jays fans demanding that we trade him while he still has some value left.
Yep.
But that's all right. I got for Blue Jays right now. I just wanted to mention how phenomenal
well,
Bo Bichette is.
Let's move on then to the MLB. Now, I did wish to bring up Trevor Bauer here very briefly. I know that there were some major allegations put out against him. Cole's notes, for those of you who haven't heard, he wound up meeting a lady online in April. They wound up connecting up a couple times, both of them obviously into rough sex, and we'll go from there, leave it at that. But according to The Athletic, who has a detailed account, now they are behind a paywall, so if you'd like to read it, you need to look a little bit, but it is disturbing.
Or you could join our Patreon and Scott will send you screenshots.
That's right. Or join our Patreon and
get behind our paywall.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just kidding there, of course. But there, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If this went down, like it said, and this lady obviously has texts and photos and, I mean, basically, without getting into too much detail, she was unconscious at a point and he was still being rough. And, you know, like, you read the account and it's pretty disgusting. And if it went down exactly like it says it went down, Trevor Bauer should probably go to jail.
Yeah.
He probably should be booted from baseball. It's in the court's hands right now, and it's really easy to, in the realm of public opinion, to already decide what is what. Mm-hmm. I don't wish to delve too much into that. One thing I did wish to bring up, though, is I did wish to mention that if this is the case, and this poor lady did go through everything that was stated she went through, this is not the time for Trevor Bauer haters to have your "I told you so" moment.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the time to be dancing on Bauer's grave and making a big deal about it and throwing it in everyone's face who at some point either liked Trevor Bauer or defended him. I do wish to bring up that, like, just because he played a wrestling heel in the MLB, and you know, you and I have talked about this, we loved Bauer's antics.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when it was just an act, and I truly believe it was an act, and I know people will be like, blah, 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 the Twitter thing when mm-hmm. he went after that girl on Twitter, and like, you know, like, he has been the villain, mm-hmm. but like nothing like this,
no.
right? Like nothing actually where he is doing physical harm to people. And if anyways, I guess I bring it up because I'm like, we were fans of him, but he's also not our hero. And like, if what went down is what went down, then hang the guy up. I never want to talk about him again.
Yeah. I concur.
I don't wish to get too deep into this just because of, well, for lots of reasons.
It's
but
a
also
developing story. We aren't experts. Like,
exactly. We're not lawyers. We don't know all the details. Nobody does.
One thing I do feel comfortable criticizing, though, is the Dodgers as an organization and their yes. handling of this situation. Like, he's still in line to start on Sunday.
Tonight. They're running him out tonight, I think, right?
No, it's July 4th is his scheduled start. Independence Day.
Right.
I mean, is there a presumption of, like, innocence until proven guilty? And, like, that's a, you know, a tenet of the North American justice system and all that bullshit, I'm sure, right? But also, like, as an organization...
Silly move. Listen, there's even right in the MLB, I want to call it handbook or whatever, the rules.
In their CBA with the
union. In their CBA, guys are allotted, without any question or concern, a 14-day personal leave.
Mm-hmm.
Why even have that? This is the perfect example of why you should use that.
Yeah. It's... not that the Blue Jays are a perfect organization by any stretch, but I had never heard anything about Roberto Alomar and the allegations against him, and they acted swiftly. Like, I don't know how long that investigation came up and how long maybe they kept it under the rug for a little bit. I don't know, but it just seems like...
Buddy, look at Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, like...
The second Osuna, all those allegations came out about him, the Blue Jays removed him from their playing roster. They gave him personal time. And then when the investigation was done, he didn't play another game in the Toronto Blue Jays jersey. They traded him instantly.
Star pitcher, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's teams that do a little bit of lip service and try to do the right thing, but also like, we're here to win and whatever. Yeah. And I just get kind of...
What a messed up situation.
I get tired of the fake activism.
Yeah.
You know, like the Yankees just pulled it this week with that 74-year-old bat girl who wasn't allowed to be a bat girl when she was a kid because of her gender. And it's like, just fucking fix shit. Like, don't do it for the PR stunt. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing. How about? I don't know. But it's like, no, let's make a big, like... campaign, and it'll be all over the newspapers. It's good press. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm over that. I'm out too, on any of that stuff. So
agreed.
Now all that we have left for villains in the MLB is Josh Donaldson, and he's trying to fill that role pretty well.
Yeah,
I like every time
he's not as likable of a villain though.
He's not at all. No, he's definitely not. But I did enjoy him after his home run there against the Twins, or the White Sox, I guess.
Yeah.
He was on the Twins.
Oh, yeah.
Crossing home plate, rubbing his hands, going, it's not sticky anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh. But anyways.
Oh, man. And Lucas Giolotta, who is one of the pitchers who is at the top of the list for sticky stuff, and his spin rate is down almost 400 revolutions a minute. Mm-hmm. So obviously he was using it. Mm-hmm. And Donaldson will not let it go. No. In fact, I was reading too that Giolotto came out in the press conference and really crapped all over Donaldson. You can easily find that, anyone who's looking, just quick Google comes up. But Donaldson waited for him in the parking lot was like...
So Giolito says at the press conference, it's just like a shitty move. If you have a problem with me, like, say it to my face.
Yeah.
So then Donaldson waits outside in the parking lot.
Waited in the parking
lot. Calls him on it, and he's like, what do you think of that? Didn't have too much to say, apparently.
No, he left. Donaldson's like, he just walked away. It's like, yeah, Josh, obviously. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get in a fist fight. Like, he's... But I love that's the way he handled it. It was a funny way to go about it, absolutely. For sure. All right, buddy. Let's call her here.
All right, just everybody. One last kudos to Kyle Schwarber on our way out. Hell of a June for that kid.
Yeah.
Unreal. 16 home runs in the month of June. Here's the list of home run leaders since June 12th. Kyle Schwarber with 16, second place also with 16, the Mets. So that's pretty good. Wow. 16 home runs in 18 games. That ties the pace from Barry Bonds in 2001 and Sammy Sosa in 1998. Most home runs over an 18 game span. Most home runs in a 75 plate appearance span in MLB history. So 16 home runs in 75 plate appearances. That's more than Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, or Sammy Sosa ever
and
hit.
And this is why Max Scherzer is going nowhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
wow, those are incredible numbers. Yeah, Kyle Schwarber, very impressive. Okay, we'll throw to our guest here, Zach Logue. Just a great chat. Lots of good stuff out of him. You can check that out right here on the YouTube page and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a great day.
Runner goes, trying to steal third, and that one is belted to left center field, and that baby's gone.
What's up, guys? This is Zach Logue, left-handed pitcher in the Toronto Blue Jays organization. You're listening to the Walkout Podcast with Scott and Adam.
So excited to be joined by today's guest, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays organization, who just last week got called up from AA New Hampshire to AAA Buffalo. Zach Logue, welcome to the walk-off, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, buddy. To start with, big congrats on the call up there, and for that matter, your debut outing this year with AAA, where you had one hit, 7 innings, 8 Ks. I know you've pitched since then, but impressive, buddy. Well done.
Thank you. It was a good first one.
Right? How are you feeling on the mound this year? I know, obviously, after the shutdown and a pandemic year and development difficult for everybody, but are you back in a routine? Are you feeling like it's just regular baseball again?
Yeah, I think at this point, we're kind of back to the feeling of a regular season. But kind of like you said, after that full year off, not really competing for an entire calendar year, getting out there for the first couple of times, definitely felt different, definitely had the nerves going. But yeah, I'd say we're back to normal now.
Did you go home during the shutdown?
Yeah, so we got sent home right in the middle of spring training. We were there for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, got sent home. And then I drove back to Louisville, where I live, in the off season. And I was there pretty much for the entire time.
And at first, obviously, you thought you were going back, right?
Yeah, exactly. So like it was crazy how it all happened. I had thrown a live BP on like a Thursday. I was driving home on either Saturday or Sunday, home that day. So it was a super quick turnaround. And just like you said, we thought we were going to be home for a couple weeks, a month tops. And then those kind of benchmarks came and went. And eventually, unfortunately, we kind of saw the writing on the wall that we were probably were out on a season that year.
What did you do to continue to develop? I mean, it must have been weird for it to be kind of all in your court to kind of get stuff done.
Yeah, for sure. It was, like you said, it was all in our court. We had to go find places to throw. Like, most places weren't open, find things to do to work out. I was working out on the front porch, all that kind of stuff. So yeah. it was definitely just kind of do it on your own. But one of the main things was I was trying to gain a little bit of velocity. So I was kept on working on med ball stuff, weighted ball, things like that. And luckily I had a few friends in the Louisville area that were with other organizations. So that it was a pretty good situation, I would say, overall, with being able to get my workouts and throwing in.
That's a big deal, eh? To have others around you also trying to progress.
For sure. 100%. Because if it's just me, like, it'd be so hard to get motivated. You know, some days I how it is, especially over that long summer. Yeah. over that long summer when we had no idea what the heck was going on. Having a couple guys there to kind of, you know, keep you going definitely helped a lot.
Well, it's been impressive, man, because you came back from this shutdown, I should say, and your strikeout rate is way up this year, especially in comparison to your career average. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the K is so valued these days in baseball.
For sure.
Was that something you were trying to do? Is that part of the velocity training you were doing? And what do you kind of credit that increase in strikeouts to?
Yeah, I think the velocity was definitely, or the goal of the velocity was probably to help that out a little bit. I wouldn't say that was like my main focus, but obviously when you throw a little bit harder, you have a little bit more margin for error, and some of those things kind of come along with it. And then along with the velocity over the lockdown, I worked on a new pitch. So I throw a cutter now. I had a slider and a changeup, and those both hovered right around 80 miles an hour. And I kind of wanted something to bridge the gap between those and my fastball. Yeah, right. Exactly. So I worked on that over the shutdown, and it's proven pretty effective so far.
It must have been pretty cool this spring training coming back. Was it kind of like a reunion of sorts? It's like, yeah. It's like, oh my God, we're all still here.
Right. Yeah. Cause we, you know, you keep in touch with a few guys, but there's definitely some guys that you hadn't talked to in a while and definitely hadn't seen in about a year. So you get back and it's almost like the first day of school. You're back together with all your good friends and you're out there just playing baseball again. It was a lot of fun.
So Zach, you are only 6 feet. Now I say only 6 feet is not short,
right?
My goodness, dude, in comparison to some of the guys in the organization, you must feel like you're surrounded by giants sometimes, right? Like it's 100%. A tall pitching crew.
100%. Especially here in Buffalo, we got TJ Zoik, Nate Pearson, Jacob Wagsback, Brian Baker. Those guys are all, you know, 6'4" plus. And then there I am walking around at 6 foot. And like you said, 6 foot, you know, it's not
You've
short.
Never been short till right. now.
Right. But then I look in the locker room and I'm looking up at everybody. It's kind of crazy.
Well, buddy, it was so funny because we had Fitz Stadler on the show last mm-hmm. month, Fisher Cats pitcher, former teammate, right? And of course, he's 6'9", so he's probably the tallest of the bunch. And I got a real kick out of him because we were just talking about who he tries to image himself after, sort of thing, like what pitchers he watches. And he was like, in all honesty, man, like my biggest thing is staying compact. And so he always envisions himself as in a Marcus Stroman avatar. He's like, I get on the mound and I'm like, think small. Like,
That's funny. If I were him, I would have never guessed. I would have never guessed Marcus Stroman. But I mean, he's obviously a good guy to, you know, emulate after. He's athletic. Course. He moves super well. And if you can, you know, get close to that, you're probably doing something right.
Exactly. So do you have somebody that you kind of see similarities into how you pitch and kind of model yourself after a little bit, or see similarities in?
Yeah. Growing up, more in high school, I kind of like looked at John Lester a little bit. Oh, nice. I really liked the way he competed on the mound. You know, he's kind of stoic out there, not super
fellow
high energy,
lefty, right?
Yeah. Fellow lefty. Exactly. He doesn't throw super hard, but he has unbelievable command, great competitor. And so I just kind of like the way he went about his business.
Nice. So Zach, you're engaged, correct?
Correct.
Nice. Congrats, correct. Man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'm a stand-up comic and I'm on the road a lot. So I kind of see similarities in the pro ball players, right? And I know my fiance, super supportive and really gets kind of the time commitment needed. And again, like I said, ball players similar, right? A lot of travel, a lot of being on the road and away from home. How important has that support from your girl been? And has having someone in your corner helped you?
Yeah, it's huge. And yeah, like you said, I got to give a shout out to her. Her name's Kayla. Her birthday was yesterday, actually.
Hey, nice.
So, happy birthday, Kayla. Yeah, happy late birthday to her. But yeah, it's awesome to have somebody that understands the time commitment, like you said, understands kind of what you need to do to take care of your business. And yeah, she's been awesome. She's always there to, you know, talk about the game if I want, there to take my mind off the game if I want. Does a great job.
It's a bigger part of it than people give it credit for, isn't it? Just like
totally
having some actual alone time, some 100%. Time where it's just like just you and you don't need to be involved in the game or whatever it is, right?
Exactly. Sometimes, you know, whether it be after a good game, tough game, sometimes you just want to come home, you know, kick your shoes off, watch TV, hang out, not think about it, get away for a while. And having somebody that understands that is definitely huge over, you know, a 6 month full season.
That's great, man. Have you two, how did you two meet?
We actually met in high school.
Okay. That's so
cool. Yeah. So yeah, we've been together for, I guess, over 10 years now. We met in high school. I actually played hockey in high school. And one of her friends was dating one of my teammates, so we got introduced that way. And yeah, we've been together for quite some time now.
This brings up so many questions.
Well, that'll endear you two Canadians' hearts.
Is hockey big in Louisville?
What position did you play in hockey?
So I was a center and a left wing. I played left wing most of my life, and then when I got to high school, I kind of transitioned over to center. And to answer your question, I grew up in Cincinnati. I wouldn't say it was huge in Cincinnati, but I had a friend. His dad's name is Sean Williams, actually. He played hockey growing up. He's Canadian. He actually, I think he played a couple games with the Blackhawks, but he played like a long time and with the Indianapolis Ice and stuff like that. So got introduced to his son, Blake, and played hockey with him from probably like second grade up until high school. Cool. So yeah, I had a little bit of a hockey career, I would say.
That's really cool.
Were you a good hockey player?
I like to think I was pretty good.
Was
I
there
played
a
like
decision to be made? Like, did you lean towards baseball just because you were better at it, or?
So kind of funny story. So I went to like a public school for elementary school and stuff like that, and then when it became time to choose where I wanted to go for high school, I could have continued with the public school, or there is a private school, Moeller High School, where I ended up going. And Moeller had a varsity hockey team and Mason, the public school, did not. So I wanted to play varsity hockey. So that was really like one of the big decision or factors in making my decision to go there. So, yeah. But I love hockey. I love watching it. I haven't skated in a long time, but I still love to watch it. And it just kind of became apparent that baseball was probably going to be the future if I wanted to pursue something in college and beyond.
So before the 2020 shutdown in 2019, you made the Eastern League All-Star Game as a Fisher Cat. No small feat. What was that experience like?
It was cool. It was really cool. I was a little surprised I made it. I don't know. I just a little surprised. But it was cool. You know, you get to go and hang out with all those guys you compete against and, you know, talk about, you know, games you threw against them, how, you know, he got me, I got you a few times, stuff like that. And then now, like a few years removed, you see a ton of those guys, you know, making their big league debuts, which is really, really cool too.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
How often in a scenario like that are you the guy approaching other pitchers trying to get info out of them? Because I know you watch it happen all the time.
Yeah.
Especially in you're watching, like, they'll have the cameras on the bullpens and stuff, and they're always talking, pitching. Are you one of those guys that's like, tell me this, how do you throw that?
Yeah, sometimes for sure. Yeah. You know, you see a guy who has a, you know, a nasty breaking ball, and I'm kind of, you know, you're always looking to improve, right? So, you know, you see someone that throws a really good one, really good changeup, something like that, and you just kind of want to it's not necessarily grips or anything like that all the time, but a lot of times it's like mental cues. Like, what do you think about, like, where do you want to get your hand? What do you think about, like, after release, are you pronating or anything like that? So yeah, us pitchers, we're kind of an interesting crew. We're talking about pitching all the time.
I love it, man. When you look back on your time as a professional ball player, was there ever a moment or a few moments that kind of felt like major milestones to you? Like anything that stands out that, like, maybe you stepped on the field and you're like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to be a pro ball player. Anything like that?
One of the really cool moments for me was my first full season. I was in High A Dunedin and we were playing St. Lucie, and I was starting that day, and I got the lineup, and David Wright was hitting second and Jay Bruce was hitting third right behind him. And I was like, oh goodness. So I'm from Cincinnati, grew up a Reds fan. So like I had watched Jay Bruce growing up. So that was super cool to throw against him. And then obviously David Wright, he's a Hall of Famer. So that was like a, you know, kind of pinch me moment, I would say.
They were both just rehabbing or what?
Yeah, they were both rehabbing. Yeah. David Wright was coming back from his back stuff, and I'm not exactly sure what Jay Bruce was rehabbing, but yeah, they're both rehabbing, both in the lineup on the same day, and I was like, all right, here we go, see what we got today.
That is awesome, man. How did you fare against them?
I don't want to brag, but I think they're both over three, so I fared well. You know that
I like
that,
how you said I think, but we both know. You know.
I know. You know that sometimes those guys don't take those games 100% seriously, yeah. But on, you know, in the scorebook, I got them.
So my man, the Jays bullpen this year has been riddled with injuries and struggles for that matter. And the starting rotation is a little thin right now. And there is an actual realistic pathway for you to maybe possibly see some big league innings this year. I know we just saw Tyler Cicedo called up. Mm-hmm. How much of those optics do you let seep into your thought process? Like, do you kind of keep an eye on things, or do you try and bury your head in the sand? Like, do you find it detrimental to do that, or does it motivate you?
I think it definitely motivates me to a point. I try not to get lost in stuff like that. You know what I mean? Cause I think you can go down a rabbit hole with thinking, oh, if this happens and I do this and this guy does that, then you kind of start putting your mind
into wonder. You start mapping out other people's injuries. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. We never want to do that. No. But you know, I think, you know, seeing if they're, you know, there's always like, I guess, a point where you can pitch well enough to create your own opportunity. But a lot of the times, you know, something has to happen in order for you to get moved up. So yeah, seeing stuff like that happen, it definitely, you know, I guess puts a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, if it keeps you motivated for sure. Keeps
absolutely
you motivated.
Kind of pretty validating almost to kind of be at the point where there is that possibility. Eh?
Definitely. Yeah. We've been on this journey for however many years now, and playing T-ball all the way up to here. And
yeah,
you know, it's right there for sure.
Like, to kind of touch on that, like, you've played for every one of the Blue Jays affiliates at this point throughout your 4 years as a major league ball player, right? Like, you've seen it all.
I've been through the system, yeah.
I went through the system. Out of curiosity, and we can throw Lansing into this now, too. I know they're the High A affiliate with Oakland now, but of all the affiliates you've played for with the Jays, did you have a favorite or one that kind of stood out to you as feeling like maybe the most pro of them all, you know, where you're like, oh, this is pro ball?
So the most fun I probably had was in Vancouver. I spent most of my first half season there, and a lot of guys that are on this Buffalo team now, and a lot of the guys that I got drafted with were on that team, and we were really good. We all got along super well, and we ended up winning the championship. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Canadiens game, but they sell out almost every single game. The fans are super into it. It's like an awesome atmosphere to play. It was like the perfect introduction to pro ball, and like also the Canadian fan base. So I love that. And then definitely here in AAA, you kind of feel more professional, I would say. Not that other places weren't.
No, for sure.
But, you know, you have, I would say definitely the majority of the team here has had some sort of big league time. So, you know, you're around guys that have been there and been through all that kind of stuff.
That's very cool, man. It's funny you say Vancouver. I know we just talked to Taylor Sesedo, and he brought Vancouver up too. Is just like Nat Bailey Stadium was something he could not say enough good things about. He's like, it's crazy, man. Like everyone's cheering, no matter you're winning or losing. It's great.
Like the away teams love to come, play. Like the weather's awesome. The fans are great. The city is also obviously beautiful. So like it's hard not to love that place.
All right. So let's talk about the big thing in baseball right now, the extra sticky stuff scandal, right? That's coming to a head and guys are, started getting suspended for it last week. I know Sports Illustrated had it as its month's cover, right? And of course, sensationalized, the ball's dripping. They're saying it's the biggest thing since steroids, which I do not feel that way. But in your opinion, how much stick is too much stick? Like, was it becoming a problem? And personally, from my state, like, I just feel like sunscreen and rosin isn't a big deal. Even pine tar on a cold day, I don't know why this is all. But that said, the stuff that you can hang a cinder block off your hand seems like a little much. Where do you stand on this? And was it prevalent in the minors?
I definitely agree with you. I think, you know, those balls they're kind of slick. The big league balls are kind of slick. And, you know, some of the mud is a little inconsistent when they rub it down. So, I think a little sunscreen and rosin, especially on a cold day when you don't have any moisture on your hands. I think that's fine. I don't think that really increases spin that much or would, you know, make somebody's stuff so much nastier just on that. But I agree. The stuff that you can hold a baseball without even touching it or even a cinder block, I think that's probably a little too far. I think people definitely took it too far, and I understand why it's all kind of coming to a head now. Definitely people were definitely using it in the minor leagues. I mean, it's one of those things that it was just people kind of looked the other way, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't say anybody was going too crazy with it, but you know, if you get a little extra grip, it doesn't hurt for sure.
Do you feel like this is a little bit of an overcorrection?
Potentially. Yeah. I know there's so many weird rules that we've gotten because of it. Like, I think one of the rules is you're not allowed to put rosin on your non-throwing arm. I don't really understand that. So Nick Allgaier was pitching the other day and he was blowing on his hands to just give it a little bit of moisture.
Yeah.
And they told him he's not allowed to blow on his hands. It wasn't cold enough. we thought that was a little bit crazy. So I think to answer your question, yes, it's probably a bit of an overcorrection. I definitely understand why they're coming down with some of these rules, but I think, you know, it'll eventually balance itself out to where everybody is, you know, happy with what's going on.
Nice. Appreciate you answering that.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite accomplishment during a game? Do you like a swing and strikeout, getting a ground ball for a double play? Like what when you're on the mound makes you go, yeah.
Honestly, a broken bat. Like whenever I jam somebody enough to break their bat, that makes me feel pretty good. I'll tell you that.
I love that answer, man. That's great. A little dribbler where they break the bat.
Yeah, for sure. Because I feel like they're defeated at that point. You know what I mean?
So I think it's safe to say that a good catcher makes a pitcher better. Mm-hmm. Looking back on your career so far, who are a couple catchers that stood out to you? You felt you had a good chemistry with, and how important is that chemistry?
Yeah, I'd say the first one that comes to mind is Riley Adams. We actually played college summer ball together on Cape Cod in 2016, I guess that would have been. So we have quite a bit of history, and then we played together in Vancouver and then Dunedin and New Hampshire as well. So I've thrown so many innings to him. So we're both comfortable with each other. Like we kind of think along the same lines. And like you said, it's so important, you know, to have a catcher that's thinking along with you. I think it just helps the flow of the game out. And I don't like to stand up there and shake and shake and shake. I think that, you know, ruins my rhythm. It, you know, makes the guys behind me, you know, their feet stand a little bit still, you know, I know they like it when a guy moves a little bit quicker. I think it's huge. And I feel like it's something that's people don't really appreciate, maybe that aren't in the game as much, but I think it makes a huge, huge difference for a pitcher for sure.
which is, I guess, why you see some of the top guys in the game have a catcher that's just always the guy who catches them, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's a huge comfort thing. You know, I got to give credit to Juan Graterol. We threw both of my games I've thrown up here, I've thrown to him, and I think he's done a great job.
Seasoned
vet. Seasoned vet, yeah, 100%. He definitely knows what he's doing behind there. But yeah, having a guy that you're comfortable with, that you know you're on the same page on the game plan, on what you want to do to certain guys and what you want to do in certain situations, I think that just, it makes everybody more comfortable.
Love it, man. All right, let's take a bit of a left turn here. Okay, so Canadian trivia. Now, we've played some Canadian trivia. with Zach Britton, with the Dunedin Blue Jays, Brody Rudning, James Dykstra, Fitz Stadler, all former teammates of yours. James and Zach have the best records at 3 right answers for 6 questions.
Okay.
Do you want to take your hand at some Canadian trivia here? See how you stack up?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So the first one here is a little bit of a baseball question too. So the first one is, the Toronto Blue Jays became a Major League Baseball team in what year?
I want to say 1982.
77, but good 77. Guess.
Okay.
Okay. What province does the city of Toronto reside in?
It's not Ottawa, is it?
It's not, but it does start with
Ontario. O. Ontario.
There you go.
God, I knew it was an O.
Okay, one for two.
All right.
Okay, now you played in Vancouver.
Yep.
What province is that in?
That's British Columbia.
There we go. Hey, all right. We might got have a new champ here. Okay. So your fourth question here. Out of the following celebrities, who is Canadian? A, Jim Carrey. B, Mike Myers. C, Ryan Reynolds. D, none of the above. Or E, all of the above?
I believe E.
Nailed it.
Wow.
We very got good. A little bit of a Canadian buff here with Mr. Logue. I like
he plays
it.
Hockey. He knows his
he
trivia.
Plays hockey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Fifth question. Which current Major League team was originally the Montreal Expos until relocating to the current city in 2004?
It would be the Nationals.
Yes, it is. Wow. 4 for 5. Honestly, Zach, these may seem easy. The other boys were literally getting the exact same question. So
Hey,
all
no,
right,
know my final, Canadian stuff.
Your final question here. The Toronto Blue Jays currently have 2 World Series championships. Name the player who hit the walk-off World Series winning home run in 1993 at home in Toronto.
Joe Carter.
Nailed it.
Wow.
5 for 6, and we got ourselves a new Canadian trivia champ here. Love it.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
I'm impressed, buddy.
I'm blown
Thank
away.
You.
Yeah.
Thank
I'm actually blown away. Like, the other guys did so poorly, we were even talking about, like, just ditching this segment altogether.
No, keep it so they know that I'm in first.
That's right. You're like, well, now that I've won this, don't take it away now.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my man. So now we're going to do a segment called Foul Territory. I'll throw to Adam here. And they're basically non-baseball questions or not quite as direct type of baseball questions.
Got it.
Okay, so my wife helped me with the first one here. Mm-hmm. Being that you're engaged, congratulations, by the way, high school
Thank
sweetheart.
You.
So what's it like, and Scott kind of touched on this earlier, but what's it like having a relationship with someone who's kind of been there for the whole ride, like as opposed to someone maybe you met in college or when you were already in the minor leagues, right?
Right. Yeah, it's really, really cool because she's kind of been there, you know, through it all. Like, we first met and I think I was a sophomore in high school, and, you know, I wanted to play Division I college baseball, but that wasn't really like, I hadn't had any offers or anything like that. So she's kind of seen me go from, you know, getting offers to playing in college to playing in pro ball. So it's really, really cool to kind of share that journey with somebody.
That's awesome. I know, like, and I'm sure Scott could probably relate to this, but as a married comedian, I often feel like, even though my wife would never admit it, I feel like sometimes she just is waiting for me to kind of give up on the dream and become a plumber, you know? And she's just like being supportive, like, yeah, okay,
right.
Sweetie, you got this. Like, do you ever feel that at all from your fiance? Like,
no.
Do you think that she expected this when you were 10 years ago, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to go play pro ball. And she's like, okay, sure, sweetie.
Right. No, I definitely don't think she expected it when we first met, because I don't think I would have expected it either. But no, I never get the sense that she's like waiting for me to retire or anything like that. It's obviously hard. You know, we spend a lot of time apart, especially during the season. But I think she enjoys coming up, and she's made some good friends with some other guys' wives and girlfriends and stuff like that over the years.
That's great.
So she enjoys coming up and like going through the journey and stuff.
That's awesome. So when you are together, then what is it like in the off season? What does a date night look like for you guys?
So we bond over food for sure.
Okay.
I like to cook, so I'll cook her some stuff. You know, typical date night. We have friends that they own a brewery near where we live, so we like to go hang out there. She has some good friends that she works with, so we hang out with them and stuff like that.
You better shout out this local brewery, or your friends are going to be so mad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's Our Lady of Perpetual Hops, and it is in it's in Southern Indiana, New Albany, Indiana.
All right.
So yeah, it's a great little spot. They always have live music. They got cornhole, stuff like that. So if you're around the area, check it out for sure.
That's great. Nice. So you mentioned that you're a little bit of a cook. What is your like marquee dish? Like, you're on Hell's Kitchen Celebrity Edition. Gordon Ramsay is like, all right, Zach Logue, make me your best dish. What are you making for Chef Ramsay?
All right, so one of our go-tos is it's salmon, oven roasted salmon, and it's got like paprika and stuff seasoned on there, and then we make a little like avocado mash, I guess. Not necessary, it's basically guacamole, but not completely mashed up, so you still get the little pieces of avocado and stuff in there. And then we like to make we have an air fryer. We use that thing almost every night.
I use the air fryer way too much.
we love it. So we like air fry some red potatoes or like Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. So
all right, sounds like a delicious time. All right, last thing here about your relationship,
right,
and then I can move on to the next topic. So you've been together for like 10 years, you said.
Mm-hmm.
You're not married yet, but obviously after 10 years, the honeymoon phase is long gone, right?
Right, so, for sure.
I'm sure there's nothing about your fiance that drives you nuts, but what would be the one thing about Zach Logue that annoys the hell out of her?
So right off the top of my head, I know it's kind of small, but I know it really bothers her. Whenever I get my clothes out of the dresser, I usually don't shut the drawers all the way. And that really bothers her for some reason. But that's probably one thing for sure. I like to leave my shoes out sometimes. So that probably gets under her skin, I would say. Typical stuff.
Totally. Yeah. No, I love it. That's great. All right. So now moving to hockey, you mentioned obviously you're a hockey guy. Stanley Cup finals are about to be underway. I don't know. Do you follow the NHL right now?
Yeah, we got Lightning and is it Vegas or no?
No, it's Montreal.
They lost Montreal. That's right. Montreal, that's right. Yeah, all right.
Pulled it off. So
they beat Vegas. Okay.
So it's Montreal, Tampa Bay in the Cup finals. Game one is tonight. I don't know when this episode is going to air, but game one tonight. Do you have a team that you're rooting for?
We got to pull for the Canadians, I would say. Got to pull for the Canadians.
Good answer. Didn't know they were playing, but now that I do.
Oh, yeah. I'm the biggest fan now.
Okay.
You know where your bread's buttered.
For sure. 100%. 100%.
For one, this is an unofficial bonus point, but for the Canadian trivia, can you name one player on the Montreal Canadiens?
Carey Price.
All right. Nailed it. Very good. Love it.
The player.
Yes. Yeah, the player.
Exactly.
The player.
Okay, so now, just a couple last ones here. In hockey, obviously, the captain wears a C on his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NFL started to do it recently, too.
Yeah.
For the most part, baseball doesn't. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid is Jason Varitek for having a C on his jersey for the Boston Red Sox?
I think Barry Larkin had one on his chest too for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, you're right.
For the Reds. Yeah, that's one, 10 being the stupidest. Yeah. Is that? Yeah, I feel like we got to give him like an 8 or 9 or something like that. I feel like the catch, it's almost like he had catcher on his chest.
Exactly.
I feel like the catcher is kind of, a lot of the times he's like the leader of the team, but yeah, you don't necessarily need to announce it to the world, I guess.
It just always rubbed me the wrong way growing up seeing that. Like, I don't know. If baseball went to that and they were like, we have a captain now, I have no problem with it. But just being the one guy that wanted to.
Yeah. Like, hey, look at me.
Right. Anyways. Okay. Last question here. Are you a gamer at all in your off time?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
And what do you play?
So me and my good friend Cullen Large, we like to play PGA Tour 2K21.
Oh, nice.
We play golf together sometimes on off days. But yeah, we like to play that a lot. I used to play Fortnite quite a bit, but some of those guys are just way too good for me. So I've had to hang that one up.
Fair enough. Are you a better?
I like to play Fortnite. I don't like to lose it.
Yeah. Exactly. I just wanted to go on there for a good time, and I was dead before I knew it.
Are you a better golfer in real life or in the game?
Definitely in the game. I'd like to say real life, but definitely in the game.
I think the last time I played a golfing video game was Wii Sports for the Nintendo Wii back in like.
No, that's. I think that's a very underrated game. I think that was very fun.
Well, I tell you what, down the road, you and I will get together and we'll do a face off where we play PGA Tour together, and then we play Wii Sports golf.
I love it. I'm in. All right. Totally in.
Sounds good. Thanks, Zach.
Absolutely.
All right, Zach, thank you so much for your time, my man. We really appreciate it. We do have a few listener questions. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Right on. Okay, so this first one is from Jared in Kitchener, Ontario, so just south of Toronto. He says, hey, Zach, love you're doing the podcast. When you have an alcoholic beverage, what is your drink?
Old fashioned.
You're an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Went to school in Kentucky recently. Probably got more into bourbon a little bit, so I kind of appreciate that a little bit more.
Love it.
That's great. Your next question is from Jenna in Fredericton, New Brunswick, so Eastern Canada. Yeah, you got questions all over the country this time here. She says, hey, Zach, love you're doing the show. It seems like most ball players can be superstitious, especially when they're on a streak or in a slump. What's the wildest or weirdest thing you've done in order to satisfy the baseball gods?
When I was younger, I wore the same pair of like sliding shorts for like a full season and had to make my mom wash them after every single game. Couldn't play without them.
At least you were getting them washed.
Yeah.
It could have been worse, man.
Yeah. I'm sure there's definitely been people who have gone no wash for a while, but luckily my mom was on top of it.
So your last question comes from Samantha in Calgary, Alberta. So that's right above Montana there for you. She says, lost my track here. Here it is. Sorry. Hey, Zach, do you have a favorite food or dish or restaurant at opposing team stadiums or city when you're on the road?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like steak a lot. I don't know. We don't like a lot of times we don't go out to eat like after games because it's so late. But I'll shout out the Red Arrow Diner in Manchester. I know that was at home, but it's a great little spot. It's open late. It's been on like Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, the Guy Fieri show. So, it's a really good little local diner. They got all kinds of food there. So that was definitely a favorite when we were in Manchester.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, Zach. Really enjoyed talking some ball here with you and appreciated your time. Best of luck with the rest of the season, my man.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday. Thanks for listening.